You're listening to Our Two Cents with the team from SGL Financial, building wealth for life. Steve Lewitt is the president of SGL Financial and Gabriel Lewitt is the CEO. They're here to discuss all the latest in financial news, trends, strategies, and more.
Hey, good morning, guys and gals and women and men, everybody of all ages.
Children and pets.
Well, I don't think children are listening to the show. Most likely not.
Nor are the pets, but what the heck.
Pets might be listening in if you have this on the speaker.
We might be all-inclusive. We must be.
Well, welcome to Our Two Cents. You've got Gabriel Lewitt and Stephen Lewitt here with you this morning or whenever you're watching the show. And we're excited to talk to you. We've got, of course, a terrific show lined up for you today,
I
must say so myself.
We do, Gabriel, but I have bad news for you.
What's that?
They are not watching the show. They are listening to
the show.
Did
I say watching?
Yes, you did.
Oh.
Yes, I just...
Didn't you know we're filming this?
Okay.
You didn't?
Right. I better put my shorts on or something.
You know, to be fair, maybe they're playing the MP3 through their TV.
No, so they're not watching this show.
They could be watching...
You cannot win this
the
argument.
The podcast on the TV screen.
You cannot talk your way out of this era of speech. They are not watching the show.
You know, this is what happens when I only have one cup of coffee before the show instead of two.
I got it.
All right. Well, hope you're doing well. So today we're going to talk about investment personalities. Okay? Or
this is pretty
people
interesting.
Personalities,
this
if
is,
you will.
This is fun.
And Well, we have quite a few of them, and what we're going to also talk a little bit about is, you know, what these personalities look like, so you can self-assess if you happen to be one of them.
Or if you even want to.
Or maybe you're more than one of these personalities also, which is a combo hybrid personality, if you will. Then we'll also talk a little bit about some of the ways that we could maybe help work with you depending on your personality style.
Yeah, I think the point is do you tailor, how do you work, as a financial advisor, how do you work with people that have different personalities?
Mm-hmm.
And no personality is right or wrong. But,
everybody is different.
But you have to cater, I don't want to say cater, respect the personality that's sitting in front of you, otherwise there's no relationship.
Yeah, of course. Good point. So, there's different ways that we as advisors work with people of different types and personalities, and we'll share a little bit of that here with you also.
Yes.
Then we've got a couple listener questions, so make sure you stay tuned for those. We've got a few good ones. One question that seems to be on everybody's mind this year, which I won't spoil. You've got to wait for it. Got to tease you with a little... cliffhanger there.
Yeah, I'm teased. I didn't look it up. I don't know.
Now you want to know too.
No, I want to know too, yeah.
All right, so let's go ahead and dive in. Yep. Okay, so as you mentioned, different personalities. So we're going to talk about a handful of these, and I'm going to start with the first one, okay? And the first one is someone that's been, that's been burned before. Let's put it that way.
Yes.
Meaning that they've worked with some advisor in some capacity, okay, at some point in their past, and they didn't have a good experience or the experience that they were hoping for.
Yeah, I think a harsher way of putting it is that they feel victimized.
Yeah, it's a little harsher way of saying it, but they listen to advice and they hear advice and they want advice, but oftentimes they don't trust it given the bad experience that they have had in the past.
Or they were promised things in the past, and, you know, we're going to take care of you, we're going to call you, we're going to do tax planning, we're going to do all of these things, mm-hmm. and nothing happens.
Yeah, and so most of the time it could fall into a couple of categories. If this is at all resonating for you, maybe you had a advisor that promised you the moon and then didn't deliver on those promises. Maybe they promised you a specific investment performance, and then that investment maybe did the opposite. Maybe it lost, you know, half its value or surprised you with how risky it was when you thought it was supposed to be conservative. You might have, of course, as you mentioned, Dad, you know, just never heard from this person ever again after you bought something from them, thinking that they were going to be there for you, and then they weren't. So these are the types of situations that often lead into this feeling.
Yeah, or alternatively, let's say you go with a new advisor and then you get caught in a market crash and that advisor doesn't communicate or you feel like it's his or her fault. That would be kind of feeling victimized by this.
Yeah. Well, so what do we do as advisors? Well, first of all, when we're talking with you and you start to share some of this, we often ask you how have your experiences been with advisors in the past, or have you worked with an advisor in the past? And this will often come up if you start to share this with us. The biggest challenge here is us not sounding like the prior advisor.
Yeah, that's true.
Right?
Well, we're going to do all those
because
things,
because
when
there's a trust issue, if we as advisors say, hey, you know, we're going to, well, look, I'm really sorry to hear that. You know, there's some bad apples out there, of course, which there are. But we don't do that, right? We talk to our clients and we communicate and we give you a plan and our investments are reliable and steady. And what goes through this person's mind is, oh, yeah, well, that's just what the last guy said.
That sounds familiar.
Okay.
Right. Yeah.
And so that's what's hard about working together here. So, Dad, what do you think? I mean, not to spend too much time just on this one personality here, but what do you suggest that if you recognize this in yourself, that you have a tough time trusting new advisors, how do you work through that as a investor?
Well, so what I try and do, and I know you do too, Gabriel, is we try to get the issue out on the table. First of all, let's talk honestly with each other, and that's when we ask people, what's been your experience with other advisors? We really appreciate if people say, well, I'm not happy, I've been burned, so now it's out on the table. In my office, I have an elephant.
Not a real one.
Not a real one. Yeah. And I always point to the elephant, and I say, look, I understand, and I think just understanding it, really understanding that when people come to us, they don't know who to trust. And if they've been burned before, they especially don't know who to trust. So I think just getting it out on the table, talking about it, and taking things slowly is very, very important. The other thing, if I have a kind of victim personality, and again, that's not a bad thing, it's just who you are, I want to know that that I'm with someone that's not putting pressure on me to make a decision.
Mm-hmm.
That's very, very important, because as soon as I feel pressure, I'm going to run the other way, even though this might be a great advisor.
Yeah. Well, I think, you know, if you're out there and you feel like this could be you, then you've got to, at some point, take that leap and trust somebody else again. Otherwise, you risk just perpetually saying, no, I can't do it. And you just end up doing everything on your own, which has its own risk, which we're going to get to here. Actually, in a second. Actually, maybe I'll skip orders,
sure.
I was going to talk about this in just a second, but I'll talk about it now because that sort of segued into it.
Just the other side. It's one is the North Pole and one is the South
Pole.
They're
a little different. So the point is the other personality type here I was going to mention, which segues here, is a do-it-yourselfer.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Total trust in themselves.
Now, maybe there's a variety of reasons why you might have done things yourself or continue to do things yourself. But the do-it-yourselfer believes that they can do everything that an advisor can do, right, on their own without needing to pay for the advisor's help.
Or they can't trust the advisor.
Well, maybe there's a willing do-it-yourselfer and an unwilling do-it-yourselfer,
yes,
perhaps. But what I'm referencing here in this example, this next personality type, is the willing DIYer.
I know as much as the advisor, and I don't need to pay for advice.
Right. In other words, every time that you think you need something, you go to Google, you maybe go to a free workshop, you go to a variety of different sources out there, you listen to podcasts like this, and your takeaway at the end of all those is, oh yeah, I could do that.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And you know, it's interesting because I consider myself to have a very high level of self-confidence.
You do?
I do.
I mean,
in
you
many
do.
Things that I do.
That was an affirmation, not a question.
You do?
I meant to say you
or
do.
You do.
You do.
You do.
You do.
I do.
You do.
Okay. So, but you have to be careful. There's a slippery slope there, right? When you take that too far and you start thinking that you can do anything that anybody else can do, regardless of experience, you've got to know where there's a boundary there as a do-it-yourselfer for when you should probably seek professional help in a certain area.
Mm.
Okay. So the tricky part here is when you're in accumulation mode, and if you have a general interest in financial investing and you know, financial planning, if you will, it's not too hard to create your own portfolio in preparation of just saving and accumulating for retirement.
Yeah, anybody can do that. Okay. You just stick your money in the market and hope it grows.
It's my example of if you are an airplane pilot, maybe taxiing the runway is not, let's assume there's no other planes on the runway for a second, but just you know, pushing the gas pedal and driving it slowly down the runway probably isn't the most challenging part.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Yes.
Where
are you going?
Then you
this?
Get to take off.
Okay.
Right? Take off.
I'm
and
with you, buddy.
Take off and landing.
All right.
All of a sudden, the complexity multiplies.
All right.
Are you with me?
I've been with you from the beginning.
I'm not sure you are, but that's okay. I'm going to keep going until right. I make my point here.
Yeah. Okay.
So the point is, when you are in accumulation mode, that's like taxiing the runway. Uh-huh. Okay. Generally, fairly simple.
Yeah.
But then you've got to get to take off, flying midair or landing, which is generally speaking much more complicated and much more dangerous because there's a lot more at risk.
You can get into a storm, into a rain, into a wind funnel.
Okay.
You know, a lot going on.
You're taxing the runway, starts a storm, you just don't take off the plane, right? So this is when you turn into accumulation mode, into retirement distribution mode. The complexity in financial planning and investing more than doubles, more than quadruples. It probably increases eightfold.
But you see, Gabriel, the folks that are confident do-it-yourselfers don't see that. They say, well, you know, I've done it for 20 years, and, you know, so it's a little different. I'll keep doing it. And I think, you know, I really do appreciate your point, even though it took quite a while to get there. But
It's just you have to set up the analogy and explain it.
Yes, you do.
You know?
You did good, Joe.
Oh,
you did good.
Well, thank you.
You're welcome. I forgot the point that I was going to make here. Here's the point. So what I was thinking while you were talking is that, you know, it's not what you know that hurts you. It's what you don't know that hurts you.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the people that I've met that are do-it-yourselfers have very confident egos.
Mm-hmm.
And they think,
absolutely, they do.
And they think they know, and I'm looking at them and saying, no, there's another side to that story that you're not addressing. They don't want to see that.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's very similar to if you're a smart individual, if you're confident in yourself, you've made good decisions, you can generally do a lot of things yourself, you can get into this mindset that I could figure out anything, right, including your financial planning and investing and retirement planning. But those same people, if you've never done anything before, let's say fixing your house, and I would be one of those people, I could go online, I could buy books, I could talk to the Home Depot guy, I could go to a workshop, and I could watch Google videos, and I could do all these things, and I'm going to get to a cursory level where I say, you know what, I think I could renovate my bathroom. Okay.
You probably could.
And then midway through that, when some random pipe bursts, and water's flooding through the house or whatever the heck else is going to happen, that's when not having experience is going to be a big challenge for me trying to fix my bathroom.
Well, put it another way, I tell this story, if I may, often is, you know, I played professional tennis. So I would go to the clubs and I would play the top club player, the number one club player, who was really, really good. But they could never beat me because if they hit 1,000 tennis balls a week, I hit 10,000 a week. So it's just a matter of experience and expertise and seeing all the angles. And like you said, if the pipe bursts, what do I do now? But an experienced person knows what to do.
Well, and this is the last example I'll give on this. I just had a friend over this last weekend, and somehow we were talking about home renovations and stuff like that. And he was like, yeah, the other year I tried to update my basement and I re-renovate the flooring or something like that. And I forgot to put in some like water prevention, this, that, or the other, you know, lining. I don't know what, because I don't know anything about home improvement.
It's the dampness.
Right. And then he was like, and then my friend was, you know, getting it done professionally. And I was watching them as they were doing it, their neighbor. And I saw that they had put down this like liner thing. And I asked my friend, I'm like, what was that? And they're like, oh, yeah, it's prevent the water from. He's like, oops, forgot that.
Whoops.
You know, so
yep.
Just examples of, to your point, things that you don't know. If you don't know them, you can't do anything about them until sometimes it's too late. And you've made that. Now, you'll learn from that. But that mistake in financial planning can cost you lots and lots of money. And jeopardize the security of your retirement.
Well, it could undermine your entire retirement. You're playing with fire.
You're playing with big stakes.
In retirement, when your paycheck stops, you are playing with fire unless you have an awful lot of money.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right.
Okay. So I'm going to segue into another one that's on my list here, which is these seem to segue well into each other. Well, one of the reasons why people oftentimes are DIYers, it's more of the reluctant DIYer, but it turns into price shopping. So I'm going to call this person the price shopper.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes price shoppers, they're looking for the lowest price, and oftentimes the lowest price is free. Mm-hmm. Meaning I'll do it myself. So this can be the person that starts off with good intentions and goes around looking advisor to advisor for the cheapest fee,
yep.
But then eventually just talks themselves out of the fee and back into DIYing it anyways because they can't seem to justify paying any fee,
yep,
for something that, you know, they ultimately feel like they can do themselves.
And they don't see the benefit of the fee.
Yeah.
Why should I pay a fee? That guy or that gal is not going to do any better than I can do.
Now, let's assume for our price shopper example, obviously the extreme of that is you go back to being a DIYer. But for my next example of a personality, we're going to use the price shopper that agrees that they need somebody to do it and is going to pick somebody, but they're always shopping for the rock bottom price.
Mm-hmm.
So what is the challenge with this when it comes to choosing a financial advisor?
Well, what I ask people is, I say, appreciate your shopping fees. Everybody wants to pay the lowest fee, but are you shopping price or are you shopping quality? Because if you want more quality, you have to pay a higher price.
Let me ask you a question. Name an example in life where you get the highest quality anything at the rock bottom or the lowest price point.
I mean, like a good deal.
No, I'm just asking you the question. Can you name something?
No.
It's pretty hard to think of something,
if
right?
If I want to buy a better sports jacket, I'm not going to get it at, what's that place that sells sports jackets for $300 or $400, you know.
If you find two dudes on the internet saying they'll upgrade your bathroom for you, using that example, versus a, you know, highly experienced contracting firm with, you know, 100 five-star reviews that's triple the price, you know, you're likely going to get what you pay for.
Yeah, but people think that they can find the same quality at a better price. But in our business, I think that quality is interpretive. In other words, When we show people, I'll just put it out there. We build wealth for people. We make them hundreds of thousands, if not millions of dollars. And although we charge a fee, I think it's insignificant in comparison to the amount of wealth we build. But if you don't see that wealth, if you don't understand it or don't see it or don't believe it, then the fee is a lot.
Well, and again, not just talking purely about whether somebody's willing to pay a fee. Somebody is willing to pay a fee. They're just looking for the cheapest
shopping
price.
You mean shopping a fee?
Right.
Okay.
Yeah. So, again, let me give you a different example. If somebody comes to us and we're 0.85%, and then they say, right, well, I can go to Johnny I just met down the road. He says he's going to charge me 0.45%, and he's going to do the same thing.
Yeah, well, then you have a choice to make. but he's not going to do the same thing.
Right. That's what I'm trying to get at.
Right.
But
the price shopper is so pain averse to paying a fee that they don't look at the fee in relation to what you get. Or they'll justify it and say, well, he said he's going to give me the same thing at half the price. Well, if you believe that, then there's nothing that we can do. Then go give it a shot.
Well, what we often recommend in these examples when we have clients that do tell us, hey, I've talked to so-and-so that's going to be, you know, 20 basis points less than you guys, and they say they're going to do all the same things.
Yeah.
And so it's one of the reasons why we highly encourage that no matter which advisor you're thinking about using, you go through that process of a deeper dive. And you ask them to show you real-life deliverables.
Yeah, they say they're going to do a tax plan. Okay, show me a tax plan.
You're right, exactly. And I'm going to do a financial plan for you. Show me what that plan looks like.
The finished product.
The finished product. oh, we have multiple ways of planning income. Show me those examples of what those different ways are, not just say that you're going to do it. So as it's similar, again, to my renovation example, it would then be, imagine you could walk through, you know, 5 or 10 finished products of the work that the cheaper contractor has done versus the higher level contractor. And, you know, you know this. Anybody that's shopped for a home knows this. On the surface, on the pictures on Zillow, they look great, right?
Yeah, until you tap on the walls.
And then you walk into the house and you just see it, right? You see it in the corners. You see it on the quality.
It's sloppy.
You know, things aren't lined up right. Yeah. There's an attention to detail and there's a quality level, and those tend to start to disappear as you get lower and lower in price points.
Definitely.
But if you just take it at the surface level, you're never going to quite know enough to make that assessment.
Yep. Everybody wants a good deal. So everybody
now,
shops.
To be fair, there are good deals out there. There legitimately are. They're like the...
I think we're a great deal.
I think we're a great... Yeah, there are some unicorns out there that really do provide equally or better service and value at a slightly lower price point. And those are the ones you want to be finding. Those are the ones you want to find.
But it's not a matter of just looking for the lower price or higher price. Shouldn't be the determining factor.
Well, and you got to get into the weeds to explore. You can't just, you know, have a 10-minute call and say, oh, what do you do? Oh, we do home renovations. Great. And what's your price? It's this. Okay, great. Let me go with you.
Right.
It's got to be a little bit more detailed than that.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Yes, sir. What's the next transition? Ooh. Logical.
I don't have
a logical one, because the first three like ran into each other.
They did kind of run into each other. So we've got a few others. Hopefully you're enjoying this, folks. I think these are interesting, and from our vantage point, we've encountered so many different types of people, and I think there's value in sharing this with you, our listeners, so you can get a sense of, you know, who you are.
Is there a doomsday thing on your list?
There's not, but there probably should be. Right. The next one on our hit list here is what we call the overanalyzer. Okay? And this is the person, not so much that, you know, they'll usually pick an advisor, for example, relatively easily. But then when it gets time to build their plan.
Oh, my gosh.
They want to review, compare, review.
Could we look at it that way? What if we did this? What if we did that? But where did you get your assumptions?
Every single thought, every single recommendation, every single alternative, every single which way, until you drive yourself kind of into analysis paralysis mode.
Right.
And then the same person can't make a decision because they're so concerned about making the right decision, but now they got 200 options.
Yes. And, you know, I think there's a balance, because understanding the numbers and understanding your decision is really very important.
Of course. This is 100% not saying that having some options and comparing some details and reviewing some assumptions is important. It's very important.
But if you, it's like going shopping for a car, you know, you can go to dealer to dealer to dealer to dealer, and then you reach a point, it's like, I don't know what car to buy.
Right. Well, let's say you decide to go to every single car dealership in town and test drive every single model.
Yeah, it's like, okay.
And now you've test driven 50 cars, and you like 20 of them. What do you do?
Maybe I'll wait to 6 months and see if the prices go down. Then I'll become a price shopper.
Exactly.
But since I've been burned by car salesmen before,
I won't buy anything. I'll just keep my used car.
Right.
Yeah, no, so what do you do if you know that you're in a... Most people know if they're highly detailed overanalyzers.
So
I happen to be an overanalyzer, as an example.
I don't think so. I think, to
a point, I've tried to limit my...
You're extremely detailed.
Yes.
I'm detailed. You're extremely detailed.
I am.
So I'll roll with some things, and like I'll say to you, I'm rolling with that, and you say, how can you do that?
Well, there's a rule in business, which is if... I'm a perfectionist, and there's a rule in business, which is if you wait for something to be perfect, you'll never get it done.
Yeah,
and you should aim for 80% and then try to move forward with it.
Yeah.
It's kind of similar when you're making decision. If you're waiting for that perfect decision to present itself, you're probably never going to find it. So you've got to give yourself some criteria points.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you give yourself some boundaries, and then when you feel like you've checked off most of those, that you've got to then decide to move in a direction.
Yeah, it's like you can get into a situation where it's just never good enough.
Yeah.
And then if it's just never good enough, then you'll never do it.
Exactly. Okay. Yeah. All right. Now, there's a few different names that we've come up with for this one before, but we used to call it Hope-itis.
Hope-itis. Hope is the hope is not a plan-itis.
Hope-itis, and now we came up with a new name for the show here because we were trying to think of catchy names for these, which is the ostrich.
Oh, yes, we did.
Which means...
I remember talking about that.
The ostrich just buries their head in the sand and ignores all that is around them because their head is buried in the sand and they can't see what's going on.
I don't want to know anything.
And hope-itis is when you say, well, I'm just going to hope it works out for the best.
Going to wing it.
So these are, people that just, when they start thinking about what all could go wrong, right, they just get so worried and stressed out about it that they'd rather just kind of ignore it all and retreat back into their cave let things happen that will happen.
You can see it every time we bring up long-term health issues, you know.
Yeah, huge.
Let's talk about the future. Let's say, I won't live that long.
Didn't happen to anybody in my family.
No, I don't want to talk about it. Yeah, okay.
Similar with younger kids and families and life insurance. I'll get into conversations about, how much coverage should be the right amount.
They'll
be fine without just a little bit of
I'm
term.
I'm young, So
these are
fun.
These kind of more emotionally charged things that cause you to, they're uncomfortable to think about.
We had a pretty good harmony there on.
So what do you do when things are uncomfortable to think about them? You punt them away from you?
Or you subliminate them.
And you don't you bury your head in the sand.
Yep.
Like an ostrich.
Okay. So we have, it's very difficult to deal with an ostrich, folks, because we demonstrate things that could go wrong. Like we'll say, hey, here's a person might be financially very sound, but there are things that could go wrong. And we'll say, here's a hurdle I think we need to get you over. Have you looked at this? What do you think about this? And an ostrich really just doesn't want to discuss them. It's like, no, that, probably not.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of like if there's a storm outside, instead of, facing it, you just go back inside and shut the blinds.
Yeah, the heck with it. Yeah.
Next time I open the blinds, hopefully it'll be sunny.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's a very natural human reaction.
Yes.
Okay, but it's also one where if you see the storm out there, you should be prepping your house to, hopefully it's not this severe of a storm, okay? But, the goal is to make sure everything is prepared so that the storm, should it pass, not impact you, okay? Whereas if you're unprepared because you just closed the blinds, that storm could roll in and sure enough damage your home or whatever the case might be. And you ignored it because you just shut the blinds.
I think the other part of this, Gabriel, is that, we all have so much on our minds. We're
busy.
Busy. And issues with life and kids and retirement. Should I work? Should I not work? I don't like this. Relationship issues. There's so much going on. And then we say, you really need to talk about your money. And people are just tired. They're just like, no, I don't.
Yeah.
I don't want to talk. I don't want to worry anymore. I don't want to think about
things.
We'll
cover this later again.
I'll just numb myself out. Mm-hmm. And I understand it, but it's not a great decision.
Yep. Well, what I'm noticing here, folks, is we're going to have time for one more of these. And we had a much longer list than I anticipated.
Yeah, we do. We have a long list.
Yeah, or maybe we just enjoyed talking about them and didn't just want to do them surface level justice and really give them some.
We spent more time than I thought we would.
So we're gonna do what we did last time when we had not enough time. We'll make this a two-parter. So next week we'll continue with our remaining ones, and then we'll talk a little bit about some best practices with working with these, as well as our listener questions, of course, that we didn't get to. Sorry, guys. We'll get to you next week.
We seem to do that. We've got to change our methodology.
Well, sometimes we have these deeper dives and we really get into them.
We do.
Okay. So let's pick one more of these here. Okay, let me see. Dad, we've got a few others. I'm going to give you the names here, guys, so you get excited for next time. So here are our remaining personalities. We've got the, we have two options for you. The Doomsday Prepper or the Silo Stalker.
Mm-hmm. That's the one I want to do.
Silo Stalker.
They're the same, aren't they? Did we split those up?
Well, Silo Stalker is more like if you have a farm. maybe. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Right.
You'd stock your silo.
Right.
But yeah. Doomsday prepper could be anywhere.
That's true. Yeah.
Similar things there. Yeah. Okay, you've got, we're calling it, if you've ever seen this movie, is one of oldie but goodie, The Odd Couple.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, yeah. So, you know, husbands and wives, spouses that don't agree, polar opposite personality types. What does that do with your planning? Some interesting options there to discuss. The Gambler.
Yeah, I love that.
Or
one.
The Risk Taker.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
And then we've got the Model Citizen.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And again, I'm not going to give you might guess what some of these are, but you're going to have to tune back in for some of the good options and details here. Okay. And then I'm going to add one last one to here. Okay. This is the Trend Follower.
Mm. Mm. That's a good one. We didn't think of that.
I just thought of it on the fly.
Yeah, actually. That's a good one.
Yeah. So the Trend Follower. And I'm going to do one last one. We're going to do a few extras. Okay.
There's another?
There is. Right. Okay. The Googler.
The Googler. All right.
I'm thinking of more of these on the fly as we're talking. So
this list could go on.
It probably could.
This might be a three-show deal. I hope folks are enjoying it.
I hope so, too. Well, you can probably guess what the Googler is. It's someone that
we know that
Googles everything. It goes with healthcare, too, the Googler.
Definitely.
I'm a Googler.
Yeah. Are you?
For healthcare?
Healthcare, yeah.
I Google everything.
Yeah.
Well, we'll talk about some of the pros and cons with that. Well, I'll tell you, on the healthcare side, I assume everything's going to kill me. Everything that goes
well,
wrong with
if
me.
You Google it, it will
yeah,
kill
that's
you.
That's what I'm saying. It's not exactly
everything you
recommended.
Google, everything you Google will kill you.
Yes, exactly. Oh, man.
If you Google a cold, it says, well, then you know, at the end it says, go see your doctor because even a cold could kill you.
A fever could be just a cold. It could be a stomach bug.
End of your life.
Yeah, death on the doorstep. Right. So, all right. Well, let's pause here. Thank you guys for tuning in. I hope you enjoyed watching the show today.
I hope I look good on TV.
Listening to the show. Just kidding, folks. We enjoyed having some time here with you. If you've got questions on any of these personalities or you have any others that you can think of that you want us to talk about on the next show, give us a holler, 847-499-3330, or email us info@sglfinancial.com. And again, send us your questions. If you have anything we can help you with, give us a call to schedule a meeting. Otherwise, we will keep chatting with you a bit more on the next show.
I just want to say, Gabriel, that one of the things that makes our job fun is are these personalities. I mean, that's why I love doing what I do.
Well, it's important that, you know, I think it's important that we recognize as advisors that everybody is different.
And respect it. It's not like you shouldn't be that way. It's
no,
like,
not, folks, none
how
of
do
the,
we work with
yeah, let
you?
Me clarify that. None of these are bad, okay? All of these are human. They're normal. Everybody has their, as you say, or I've heard you say in the past, tapes of the past that they've played that brings them to where they are today. And part of it is being self-reflective enough to recognize yourself in the mirror and then make decisions that can really be positively beneficial for you.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I call it shtick. Everybody has their shtick.
There it is.
A technical word.
The technical word. Thanks, folks. Have a wonderful rest of your week, and we will talk to you next time.
Stay well, everybody.
Bye now.
Thanks for listening to Our Two Cents with Steve and Gabriel Lewitt. For any questions about your finances, give SGL a call at 847-499-3330 or visit us on the web at sglfinancial.com. And be sure to subscribe to join us on next week's episode.
Investment advisory services are offered through SGL Financial LLC, an SEC registered investment advisor. Insurance and other financial products are offered separately through individually licensed and appointed agents.